The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Justin Marlar from Concord, North Carolina, and I love listening to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is Jessica Snowden in Omaha, Nebraska, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast. Thanks, guys.
Hi, this is Amy from South Dakota, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hey, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Josh.
And we're from Central Florida,
and we love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, this is Heather from New Jersey, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 517 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean and Chris Eliopoulos. But first, we'll hear the tones of Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello. Do you like my new microphone?
Yeah,
I guess that's a no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's last time. I mean, like, enough.
Yeah. It's no more complaints that we can't hear Michelle. Oh, hopefully. I've got, like, a professional setup here. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yay. So, hello to you both, young gentlemen.
Hi.
And I do have a shout out. I know Mike is running a strict schedule today. So my shout out is to all the folks in Orlando and all over Florida who are we're recording as the hurricane is going by, but they are dealing with Hurricane Irma, especially to Matthew Millhauser, Jackie Cabrera, Phil and Eve Vanderpool and Maggie Vanderpool, and also Deb and Linda in Orlando, and and Karen and Randy, who I know don't listen to the podcast, but my good friends.
Well, screw them then.
From Boston. So, wishing them all the best.
All the best.
Yes.
And, of
and
course,
I wish you could all see Mike's Anderson Cooper look. He's got a very good, serious Anderson Cooper look that he imitates. So.
Is it windblown, like hurricane-blown Anderson, like where he's got his hair just kind of blown from the wind and the rain?
Whatever it is, it makes me laugh every time I see it. So, no, it's just inquisitive. I'm listening to you, and I'm curious about what you're saying.
Mm.
So, anyway.
That's it.
Also with us is Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris.
So, speaking of which, this will be appropriate. So, my song is Miami 2017 by Billy Joel. I've seen the lights go out on Broadway. So, ironically enough, so I have, you know, friends and close relatives of friends down in Miami, and hoping they're doing well and recovering from Irma, because it looks like they got kind of walloped.
Yeah.
Even though they weren't in the eye, they kind of got a good bashing. So, like you guys, good thoughts going out to all the folks in Florida.
So as Michelle had alluded to earlier in the introductory part of our podcast, we are recording this on Sunday, September 10th. And while we are recording this, Irma is battering the western side of the state of Florida. And as Chris mentioned and Michelle had mentioned, and I'm going to mention, we have a lot of friends who are down there in Florida. I have friends on both sides of the coast. And we all have friends in Walt Disney World, some of whom work for Walt Disney World. So we thought that while Irma batters the state of Florida, we'll talk about what we have learned in the past from hurricanes and how Walt Disney World handles that. I know that Michelle has been down there during a hurricane, and of course, we all know that when I go down to Florida, there are times when
you bring it with you.
So I was there for Hurricane Charlie, which was a big one back in, believe it was August 13th, 2004, and I can tell you what kind of an experience I had, and the kind of things that we know that Walt Disney does to prepare for a hurricane, and what guests can expect when the aftermath occurs. And so if anybody who is listening to this podcast is thinking about going to Walt Disney World in the next couple of days, so we hope that we can prepare you for what you may find and what you may not find going down there. So with that, I think one of the things we want to talk about is if we back it up a day or two, what we know, what we have heard regarding the preparation for Walt Disney World and how they were going to meet with Hurricane Irma. Michelle, would you like to tell us what you've learned about how they prepared? Do you want me to start? How would you want to do this?
Oh, I can start. I actually was down there for Charlie too, but I don't think I did. I know you at that time. I don't know if I knew you at that time.
2004.
But,
I don't think so.
Yeah,
you weren't that
lucky.
You know,
one of the things it wasn't. I mean, in terms of what we're, you know, yeah, it was in terms of what they're dealing with right now. I think it was small potatoes compared to Irma. However, I have to say that. My family, I think we were down there for 10 or 11 days. And the first thing that I wanted to mention is that I think that I felt very, very safe being at Walt Disney World because I just knew that they were going to do everything to keep the guests safe. I know it's one of the four things that Disney talks about is most important to them, is the top one, safety. But the other piece of it was that they kept us very well informed. There was lots of information coming out. You know, they would deliver things to our room, but their safety is important, but also communication. So I think that's where Disney excels during a storm. In fact, Mike, we know one of our friends who lives in Orlando who actually booked a room at Walt Disney World for this hurricane, right?
Yes, and I think that's something that goes through a lot of people's minds, that when the construction of any of the resorts took place, that the engineers involved were aware that Florida is a hurricane state. It gets a lot of wind and a lot of rain, and so they probably took the building codes very seriously and probably went beyond the building codes. And so, yes, there's one, at least one friend and maybe several others who were thinking about checking in and actually reserved a room. One particular person reserved a room at Saratoga Springs, feeling that that would be a very secure spot. And you know, if I lived in a evacuation zone, I would seriously consider that too. I would consider probably going somewhere where I think I would be safe, and most likely the power would probably stay on. That's a good question. And just asked myself in my head if any, I don't know if Walt Disney World has ever lost power due to a hurricane. Chris, have you ever been down there?
I've been down there for like during a tropical storm, not a hurricane, but it's you know, it's very interesting the way that Disney does prepare. And I was even watching some of the stuff that was going on this time and just how they know ahead of time how to inform people what's coming up, what to expect. My wife and I were out to dinner last night and we were discussing Boardwalk because, you know, we've stayed at Yacht Club, Beach Club, and they do have restaurants in the facility. And so, you know, that you'll be able to get food and not have to go outside. But the Boardwalk, obviously the restaurants are outdoors and getting to them would be logistically difficult. And it was almost like immediately I got home and I was just checking Twitter or Facebook, whatever it was. And I saw that they had announced that, like, okay, meal service will be cut off at this point at these restaurants, and then we're going to have boxed lunches and stuff at a great discount available in the lobby. So, you know, they know ahead of time how to prepare for this stuff. This one sounds like it's been much more intense. Like, it sounds like, you know, like they were pulling out the gondolas from Italy, and they were, you know, wrapping up the lights and stuff like that in Epcot just to kind of keep things from going crazy. But they really do know how to prepare for something like this, and it's amazing to see. So, yeah, I've never seen the power go out. I would assume they do have backup generators all over the place. So They are like the FEMA of, you know, the parks, you know, of parks or whatever. So, but what about you, Michelle?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Chris, that you said that, because in terms of the box lunches and preparing and everything, like something that I saw on Twitter this afternoon, I don't know if you guys saw it, that I've never seen before, was that it seems that Orlando is going to be having curfews that Miami did earlier. And so at WDW Today, not the podcast, the official Twitter feed of Walt Disney World, posted that they are going to be following all the curfews that the city of Orlando follows. So we know that the parks are still closed. But Mike, do you ever remember a curfew being, you know, saying that the curfew was going to be imposed at Walt Disney World?
Not at Walt.
I mean, really, people could go out before. At least when I was there for a hurricane, people could. It would be silly, but people could go out if they wanted to.
Well, I don't know if I know that. You know, if they close the parks, that's one thing, and they ask people to stay off the roads. Of course, if the buses aren't running and if you don't have a rental car, you can't do anything. I've never heard of curfew there. I have been down there when there has been a curfew in the city of Orlando. There was, for Hurricane Charlie, I believe there was a curfew that, I'm not sure if I'd call it a curfew, but I do remember they were doing simulcasts on television and on the radio, and one of them said that they would be closing the power down in downtown Orlando around 3 o'clock. And basically they were going to turn off the power on the streets so that the traffic lights would not work. And the idea there is to say, we expect some issues with wind and rain at 3 p.m. So before we even get to a point where that could, that combination of nature would possibly put someone in danger with a live wire, we are just cutting off the power. Now, they didn't say curfew, but that pretty much says you really don't want to be on the streets. So that's the only time I've heard of any curfew down there.
Well, I will have to say, even with that, something that I remember, is with my kids for Hurricane Charlie, and I know this is the case too because I've seen people posting on social media, is that Disney does a great job of, you know, even though it's a hurricane, even though this is not the vacation that you probably signed up for, they really do a great job of entertaining people. They have the pool activity people doing, you know, just whatever games that they can do with the kids. You know, I'm not sure any other place would do that. So I remember just being very, very impressed, you know, that you could take the kids to the lobby and they could work, you know, do activities. I'm not talking anything major activities, but just the idea that they would do that to entertain the family when the cast members are away from their own families. I just was really blown away by that.
Yeah. Yeah, they had like all kinds of games when I was down there. They pull out all the kind of chess and checkers and other little like games for, and then they have like little events like they would at the pool, which was nice. And that's what the other thing you got to remember with these cast members. I've talked to a few people, and these are people who are away from their families and are living on property for the days of these hurricanes to keep everybody entertained and happy. So hopefully, as much as most people are feeling, you know, trapped and bothered by this stuff, you've got people that are working there that are disconnected from their families as well, so give them a little bit of a thanks once in a while.
Right. We have a Mickey Miler friend whose husband's a cast member. He's a chef at a very well-known restaurant, and she said during the last hurricane he was away for 5 days and that he was already going to be away from the family for this experience too. So
yeah, it's tough.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
It's funny, I'm looking at my notes from 2004, and Charlie was a class 3 hurricane, and I have down here that when the simulcast was going on, they did mention that once the winds surpassed 45 miles an hour, all emergency personnel would take cover. They wouldn't be around in case someone dialed 911. And we heard all weekend the same thing. So apparently that protocol has always been there. Michelle, you mentioned how the communication aspect of this is very important. And when I checked into my resort back then during Hurricane Charlie days, it was the day before it hit. And when I checked in, they told me that there was going to be an announcement about Hurricane Charlie and the parks. And the very next day, the parks closed at around 1 o'clock because of all the stuff. So that communications thing is very important. And during the course of the hurricane, they would send messages via the resort room telephone. Yeah. Because the internet was sort of around at that time, but not as, but the cell phones weren't that great back then. They were telling us to keep away from the windows. They were telling us to keep connecting room doors unlocked. They said, do not double lock the door. They said, keep the blinds and drapes closed and furniture in the room. And they said, do not leave the room until notified. So maybe there was a sort of a curfew. I do remember I was staying at Pop Century at the time, and the storm and Charlie was so strong that the rain was actually coming through the door cracks. That tells you that they knew exactly how dangerous the storm would be, and they wanted to make sure that none of their guests were going to be in danger. So, again, that communication part of it was very, very, very important.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to know, you and I have been chatting about the possible impacts of the storm, and I found it to be a very interesting conversation about the things that Disney has to do to get ready for this, and the things that might the wind and the rain might impact. And I was wondering if you wanted to chat about that, because I know, as Chris said, we saw photos that a friend posted about how they were securing the lights at Epcot. But when you kind of unpack that a little bit and think about all the different things that could blow away or be impacted, it's pretty awe-inspiring.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about how vast Walt Disney World Resort is. And if you just stay with the resorts, think about the pools. And think about all the chairs around the pools. Think about how light they are and how they could be very easily lifted by winds in the 80 to 90 to 100 miles per hour. And Category 3 is more than that. So I would think that instead of tying them down, they would probably remove them and secure them somewhere. So they would actually remove them. And think about the things like where the lifeguards are, those areas where they sit. I mean, they have to take them down. Think about all the chairs and tables in the parks for the restaurants. Think about what's been going on with the International Food and Wine Festival and all the kiosks and all the extra tables and chairs that have been put out. They have to take care of them. So that gives you pause for thought, and you'd say, well, then they are probably going to need time to do that. So they would have to close the parks well before the hurricane gets there so that that could happen. The other thing is that all the boats that are used throughout the resort, what do you do with them? You have to secure them. Then we talk about the animals in the animal kingdom. They need to be secured in their cages. Because one of the things that I recall, and Charlie, and I would guess it's even more so now, is that Animal Kingdom may be more prone to damage than any other park because of the number of trees and all the stuff that's going on. And Michelle, you and I this morning discussed Pandora and how those about those floating mountains. And Chris, I'd like you to chime in on this. Think about those floating mountains. Are they top heavy? And if they're top heavy, are they prone to really strong winds? And could that be a problem? Not to mention, and Michelle, we talked about this too, the cranes all over the place because of the construction going on. And there's construction all over the place. This afternoon, Sunday afternoon, there was a crane that was destroyed in Miami. It was just completely torn away from the building. I do know that they keep them loose at the top so they'll swing like a like a weather vane. And I don't think that Orlando is going to get the really strong winds that Miami and Naples and maybe Tampa to a point will get. But those are a lot of the things that that I know that they've had to go through. There are things that I recall back in 2004 and things that happened afterwards that I think we need to make mention for those who may be going later on this week.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was going to say, even just the logistics of it all, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law are going down in 2 weeks, and she's actually very nervous right now. The first time she's never taken out insurance on her airfare, and she's like, I'm wondering if we'll be able to get down to the airports at that point. Will they be up and running at full capacity? You know, those are things that you're going to have to start looking at, and, you know, obviously checking with your travel agent to make sure that things are up and running, because, you know, forget about, like, once while the hurricane's going on, afterward is going to be rough too, because everybody's trying to recover. You know, you've got downed trees, and I'm sure there's going to be damage to the airports and that kind of, and then just getting everything up and running. So you're going to have to deal with that, you know, and then Disney with the bus system and with, you know, everything up and running, it takes a little time. There's a build back up, and they're a machine down there, and I know probably better than anybody else. They'll be up quickly, but it's something to think about as you're going down right after.
Yeah, I was thinking, just if you walk down Main Street USA, so right now is, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, but all the Halloween decorations, all the things that are hanging from the lamps and the things that are on Main Street USA. I was thinking about trash cans. I was thinking about, if you think of Pandora and all the orchids that are in the trees, and all the thing that makes Pandora is all the beautiful plants that are around there. But just if you kind of like mentally walk through and think of all the things that are not bolted down that could fly away. But I do think the plants, for me, you know, I think that there are some pictures of St. Thomas before and after the hurricane went through, where you saw this beautiful foliage, and then it just looked like a bulldozer came and just knocked everything over. That's where people live, and I know we're talking about a theme park, but I think if you think of all the wonderful plants that make Walt Disney World, that makes me nervous too. Like, how fast is it going to take for them to replenish all that?
Again, I'm looking at my notes, and the morning after Charlie hit, I remember I was awake at 1:45. Because there was a light flashing on the phone in the resort room, and it was the resort telling everyone that the storm was over, but that the staff had been working through the night, and all the resorts and the parks and the roadways were being evaluated regarding damage and what needs to be taken care of. And again, it looks like there was a curfew, because my notes said that the message indicated that we could leave our room, but we had to stay at the resort. So, because there was some cleanup going on. It said the park operations were not defined at this time. And then I found out later that there were a couple things going on. Number one, that the monorail was not in operation. It did not operate for, I believe, a day or two. And the reason for that is that they had to go through and inspect to make sure that the infrastructure was not compromised. All those stanchions, they had to make sure that everything was fine and there was no damage. Another interesting thing was that the Animal Kingdom park opened last. And the reason for that, and I couldn't figure out, it didn't dawn on me why. And then I finally asked the cast member why. And he told me that the Animal Kingdom park, because of the savannah and because of the way that it was built to prevent the predators, like the lions, from getting to the prey, like the zebra and everything, they had to make sure that there were no trees that happened to fall over, for instance, a gap and allow the animals to cross over.
So a little bridge.
Yeah, so they had to check that, and they had to check to make sure that there were no trees that were potentially going to do that. Then that took, so they actually had to walk all through the savanna before they even let the animals out and make sure that they checked that park. That park took a while to open. The other thing I noticed the day that they let us back into the parks, I remember going to the Magic Kingdom, and the only way we could get there was through the, I think I was driving, and I had to take the ferry from the TTC, got to the Magic Kingdom, and there was only one restaurant open, and that was the Crystal Palace. None of the other restaurants were open for breakfast, for lunch, and what had happened was that because Charlie had, I think it was 105 miles per hour, that's what I also have in my notes, there were some cast members who asked that they be able to take care of their homes and everything. So there was a skeletal staff at Walt Disney World, so especially the Magic Kingdom, and only one restaurant was open. And so a funny story with this, the restaurant was being... The Crystal Palace was being staffed by supervisors instead of regular cast members. So they had all these managers cooking and everything. And when it was time to go up and eat, there was a huge line because obviously everybody in the world was going there for lunch. So I went to the dessert area first, and I had my dessert because everybody was going up for the food. And then when everybody was going up for the dessert, I went up for the regular food. But just to make a point again, the Crystal Palace was the only restaurant open in the Magic Kingdom that day. So there's a lot of things that happens afterwards that Disney has to check. And again, I think safety first is their motto. And they want to make sure that not only is the resort in good shape, but that it's safe for the guests to go around. So there are no loose wires. There's no problem with the monorail. There's no issues everywhere. So my point in all this is that anyone who is listening, like you said, Chris, you've got friends who are going down in a couple. I think there's a need to be patient and to make sure that you're not impatient with things that may be not online right away. They need to make sure that everything's right, and that's important.
Yeah. Even just like I remember years ago, I was down, I think, after – I don't know if it was a tropical storm or a hurricane that had gone through. And you got to remember even stuff like the trees out around the property that are getting knocked down and that have to be cleaned up, and the roadways and that kind of stuff is going to be, you know, something to look out for. And so you're going to have delays for buses and cars, and, you know, it's just it's a sad fact that nature doesn't give a fudge about your vacation, and just remember that to leave yourself some time, because you know these things are going to cause a lot of delays, no matter, even if the hurricane has passed for a few days. So I will say, though, I did see online that somebody had posted that they're doing the electric slide in the middle of the yacht club right now in the lobby, so I guess those are some of the games that are going on right now.
You know, and those are cool memories too. I know at the Swan and Dolphin, actress Kristen Bell is there.
Yeah.
And she's been posting, and just seems to be, you know, making the best of it too. So, yeah.
You never know. You might meet a star who's stuck down there, right?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's I think they do that dance. They do something like that at Pop Century. I think it's 6 o'clock every day. I think they do. Not the electric slide, the Hully Gully or something.
Do some kind of dance. They do it at the pool at the Yacht and Beach Club too. There's some dance that they do when they change out the crews. I can never remember which one it is.
Oh, but, come on! Like, you're not there all the time.
I am all there all the time, but I don't know what that dance is.
I mean, doing the dance.
Yeah, I'm always out there doing the dance.
I think that what people have to realize who are going to be going down in a couple of days, weeks, or whatever, is that when they're going to whatever destination, Disney Springs, think of all the tables that had to be put in from that. Oh, Michelle, you should mention.
Oh,
yeah,
oh, Mike.
Yeah,
oh,
you Mike. Know, you know what I'm thinking. What we talked about. What. No. What they would. Okay, I'll give you a hint.
No afterwards. Idea.
First, let me just make my point. There will be like when I went to the Magic Kingdom that day. When I my drive from Pop Century to the Magic Kingdom, and I have this in my notes. I counted 34 uprooted trees along the roadways. I don't know how many will be there the next couple of days, but you know, I could see people being concerned. Oh, look at those uprooted trees. Disney's going to get to them. They're going to worry about the resorts first. And they're going to worry about the parks first. Now, Michelle, remember you mentioned to me yesterday, gee, I wonder what they're doing with that particular attraction in Disney Springs that goes up and down, remember?
Oh, yeah, Flight of Wonder. First of all, I want to say to you that you teased me yesterday or a few days ago for throwing away a notebook that I had since 1989 when I was in graduate school. So don't tease me anymore, Mister. I have my notes from the 2004 hurricane.
But my notes are online. My notes are online.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Well saved.
Yeah. So, the flights of passage, the big balloon that goes up and down. What happens to that?
Yeah, do they lock it down? What do they,
I don't know. Do they disassemble it? We don't know.
Is that Flights of Passage or is that something? Is that? I thought that was
Flights of Wonder. Flights of Wonder. Flights of Wonder. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm confusing it with the Pandora ride. Yeah, the big balloon. We all know what I'm talking about. The big balloon. What happens to the big balloon?
I don't know. That's a good question.
We don't know.
Yeah, I wonder about like any kind of damage to any of the larger scale attractions, like, you know, you're going to see Expedition Everest or any of the higher ones. Like, are we going to see any damage to them from...
Well, that's a real mountain, right? So that wouldn't be damaged. No, I was wondering the same thing. You know, some of the iconic things, you know, like the turrets and Cinderella Castle or, you know, the leaves on at Animal Kingdom and on the Tree of Life. Like, there's a lot of little pieces that could fly around, so... Yeah.
No, you guys are already like, when you're listening to this, you already know like what kind of damage we're in the middle of it. We don't even know what kind of damage we're going to see in the coming days. And, you know, it could be better than we thought or worse than we thought. And,
you know, but I think the bottom line is that we're all in awe of, I mean, we all love Disney, but we're all in awe of what they do to make everybody feel safe and to keep the, you know, the fidelity of the attractions and the beauty of the place. And there's an awful lot that goes into keeping it special and keeping everybody enjoying it and safe. So,
I think that's a good point, Michelle. I think bottom line is that the safety for, you know, human life is number one, and then the property, dealing with the property, comes you know, right behind. But I think that obviously by now when this podcast is posted and listened to, you know, we will have known what kind of damage, if any, was suffered by the resort. One more note that I had that I wanted to mention was that the only notable damage that had taken place from Hurricane Charlie in 2004 in Downtown Disney was the roof of Cirque du Soleil. That was partially torn from the high winds, but that was the only thing down in what was then called Downtown Disney that suffered anything. So, and I also wanted to mention there was never a problem with the food supply. It was just a very interesting experience for me because I walked away impressed. I walked away saying to myself, I'll never feel endangered when I'm in Walt Disney World because they will take care of me. And they will make sure that things are okay before they allow me and the other guests to continue with our vacation. So I want
to.
You know,
yeah, and the other thing too, Mike, to add to that is that those are the most important things. But you also didn't walk away and say, "Boy, I had a lousy vacation." Like somehow Disney saved it for you, right?
That's correct. That's correct. One last thing, I noticed this is interesting. Because of the hurricane and because they had asked the guests to stay in their rooms for like 2 days or whatever, do you know that they refunded part of my room bill because of, quote, lack of housekeeping services? Isn't that interesting?
I was at Disney Vacation Club, so yeah, I was wondering about that.
No, at least they you know, that's the again, one of the good things, the reasons we love going down to the Disney parks are things like that, where unexpectedly they will make sure that you're taken care of, and if even in the middle of a hurricane, they'll know not to charge you extra for services not provided, and it's kind of why we like going back there over and over again.
Yeah, I did read during the last, I don't remember what the last hurricane was, I apologize, but during the last hurricane, the parks were closed for a day and a half or maybe 2 days, and the loss of revenue was $40 million. Mm.
That's why our annual passes are so high.
I want to finish this this podcast by mentioning one more thing. And again, this is to give kudos to Walt Disney World. This is what they did in 2004. And I'm hoping that they won't have to do that for this week. But I wanted to mention that there was a lot of hardship that was brought to the Walt Disney World cast members because of Hurricane Charley, and they were hit very hard. And because of that, Walt Disney World created a cast member hurricane relief fund, and they started it by throwing $50,000 into the fund. Hopefully none of the cast members will be affected by Hurricane Charley's to the point where this kind of action would take place, but I just wanted to just give another thumbs up to Walt Disney World for stepping up, and I'm sure that if something happens regarding their cast members having some issues, I'm sure they will do the same. So just wanted to point that out. Okay, so again, we hope that everything turned out okay, or at least was not as bad as predicted, and life goes on, and we wish everybody who was down there, we wish them fast recovery, and hopefully it wasn't too bad of a storm. And with that, Michelle and Chris and I are saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.